why is it that there's a difference that Avraham Avinu, once he was named Avraham, is never going back to Avraham? And Yisrael, although it says Leikur Shimcho Oid Yaakov Kim Yisrael, that's fine. The Torah refers to him as Yaakov and as Yisrael and goes backwards and oscillates there and here. So there's a Yisod that the Avraham HaKadoshim or Avraham Yitzchok and Yaakov, which come to 13 letters. Avraham Yitzchok and Yaakov, which is communion Echo. 13. So similarly, Suvo, Rivka, Ruchel, and Lai also come to 13 letters. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Suvo, Rivka, Ruchel, Lai come to 13 letters, no?
13 letters, correct.
Yeah.
It's also Echad. Echad and Echad together make 26, because 13 right. Times 2 is 26. That works fine. As long as we are on the presumption that Avraham is Avraham and Yaakov is Yaakov, then you've got 13 letters. But the moment that Yaakov assumes Yisrael and Avraham assumes the name Avraham, then you've got 14 letters, which throws to 27, and the whole cheshbon falls out of it. So one of them has got to give way. And it looks like that the one that stays Avraham is Avraham. And that's why Rashi here at the beginning of this week's Seder has got two texts on Vagatlu Shmecho. But it says Vavocho Bomumoy Vayai Bruchu Tuva Acha. Ves Chulugoy Gudol Zesh Oimu Melekai Avua. Fine. Vavorechecho Zesh Oimu Melekai Yitzchok. And then Rashi says Vagatlu Shmecho, which means I'm going to increase your name from Avram to Avua. And not Elekai Yisur. Because if Elekai Yaakov has to stay Yaakov in order to maintain the 13 and the 13, which is the 26, and the Echad al Echad, which falls into line with the Haftarah of this week's Seder too. Because the Haftarah of this week's Seder remarkably starts off with the words Lomu Sagid Yaakov Yisudaba Yisrael. Nisturu Darki Me'ashem. That's the beginning of this week's Haftarah. Lomu Soima Yaakov, says the Novi, which, according to our Drush, works beautifully. Why do you continue calling him Yaakov Usudaba Yisrael when you've instructed him to assume the name Yisrael? If you said Avram should be Avram, then Yisrael should remain Yisrael. Why do you revert back to Yaakov? Says the Novi, Nisteru Daki Me'Hashem, because if you have the name of Yisrael as opposed to Yaakov only, you have impeded the way to reach to Yid Kei Vuv Kei, which is 26, because that would be 27 and there would be 14 and 13 as opposed to 13 and 13. Which brings us back to the whole subject. There's also there's another word, Yoimanu Yisrael, Yishtaldot Nelush in Tille. Lile Hashem Ho Yuluni Yoimanu Yisrael, which also fits in very beautifully with all this. Lile Hashem Ho Yuluni, if not for the Yid Kei Vuv Kei, which is the number of 26, is Yoimanu Yisrael, then we would continue only using the word Yisrael. We would never revert back to Yaakov. Right? Which falls in line again. And finally, the Nkidda of the Uvas HaKadoshim and the Emus HaKadoshim united together to become Yid Kei Vuv Kei, which is 26, is the same principle that we just left behind with the Mitzvah of Sikkos, because there we took the Lila of the Esrik, the Adas, and the Arova all together and united them in one hand, and those symbolically are all essentially units of Klal Yisrael of different nature, some which are Torah without mitzvahs, mitzvahs without Masa Tome, etc., etc. The Lilav and the Esrik are the four components, but united together comprise the entire Klal Yisrael and the gambit of right across of all of Klal Yisrael, regardless of the tzidkis or the yashras, but they were brought together, they are forming one unit, and that's why we hold them together, and you lift Zurich Iged, and you're supposed to hold the as close to it, which is very beautiful. That's why at the beginning of the Yehirutzen, which we say by Netilas Dilev, follows suit too, because then we say Yehirutzen b'fenech Hashem lekav yasai b'fri ha'itzu do v'kapois temurim v'anaf ha'itzu vois v'ar v'nuchal ois yes shim chamichot, which essentially there you have the name, the letters of the Rebbein Shalom Tikurev, once again Echot El Echot, 13 plus 13. Ohoyu lachudim biyudi, once they are united in my hand, which is why the essence of what Klal Yisrael is coming from the Uvos and the Emois. Ohoyu lachudim biyudi v'leida, and we will know consequently Eich Shimchu Nikrulai, the Yid Kaivuvka, which is the name of the Rebbein Shalom, is Nikrulai. And incidentally, the word biyudi, which united all in one hand, is also Begematria 26. Which is the name of the Rebbein Shalom once again. So you see from this week's Seder that the kickoff of Klal Yisrael, so to speak, of the Uvos and the Emores and the 13 and the Rebbein Shalom's name all unite together and brings us in as a follow on from Sikkis. That's as an introduction to the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. As we move in, we note also a fascinating thing about the
flow.
It says it like this, by that the initially, oh, that's a diak on vayivoy out to Canaan, then you've got the beginning where Avraham Avinu went towards Eretz Yisrael. And he hoped to Mir Tashem that the Rebbein Shalom is going to fulfill all those promises which he said. He's going to give him an abundance of funds, he's going to make him successful, he's going to give him food and sustenance and everything that he promised him when he said to him, Lech Lechum Erzecho. But when he came there, he found that the world was fine. The only problem was that Eretz Yisrael, which is the place which he's gone to, that's where the famine was. And we medayek that from the words from Vahi Ruav Buuretz very, very distinctly and definitively was only Buuretz in Eretz Yisrael and not anywhere else. And now that we've established that, it's worthwhile pointing out that Vayelchu, when he went to Eretz Kanaan, which was with a Pasach, which means the Rebbein Shalom will open his hand and give him everything. But Yuvoyi, when he came there, he found that it was regretfully out to Kanuan with a kumitz, and it was very, very tight-fisted. So it didn't quite work out the way it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be initially Kanaan. By Yaelchi, when they went, it was out to Kanaan to be Pasach. They should be Pasuach and Pesayach as Yudeichu Masbir Chol Harutze. But Yuvayuvoy, when he got there, he found it was out to Kanuan, that this was the place where the kumitz, which means tight-fistedness, resided exclusively. The kiddush is that, if we think about it, what's the big deal about going, that this is considered one of the asur nisyonos. At the end of the day, if the Rebbein Shalom would tell one of us personally, you know, go to Peru, that's the place to go, and there you are going to become a mega millionaire. And not only that, you are going to become famous, and you're going to have nations come out of you, then every person in his right senses would pick his bags up or even bother with his bags and just go to the place that's been designated. But the Vort of Humovini went, Vayaylech Avram, and this is the real Nekide, Kasher Dibbe Eilev Hashem. There was no cheshbon here of the magnitude of the money and the amount he was going to make and that he was going to become famous. The whole purpose that he went there was only Kasher Dibbe Eilev Hashem, and that was the Nisoyon. How is he going to embrace this mitzvah? How is he going to embrace this Nisoyon? And therefore, Vayaylech Eilev, Kasher Dibbe Eilev Hashem. Which brings us on to further into the Seder. Few pshutim in Hineinu Yodati Ki Ishi Yifas Mareot, which is the Chayre Apella, because having been married to Sur for so long, and he never knew that she was a beautiful woman, is something that is an amazing phenomenon. So they say b'shem tznius shebenayim that he never saw her, which of course is the question that usel udam shiyakad shesu ishu ad sheyireno. The Torah says v'hafta l'racho k'moichu. So there again, it's only after Rach Kamoichu if there's a consideration that you might see the Maginah, but if he's never going to look at her, then that's not the case. But here he noticed that she was particularly beautiful. And L'cha'ora, there is a going in with the memory which the Gemara says about Esther, that there's a machloikas. Was she Taka such an outstandingly beautiful woman, or she was Yirak Roikas? She had, in fact, a green complexion. But Chitshel Chesed was there. And if a Chitshel Chesed was there, then she appeared to everybody to be outstandingly good-looking. If it's to do with a Chitshel Chesed, then L'cha'ora, if you're going to a dangerous place, like Rashi explains, a place of Kushe, a place of dark people where beautiful women are very, very rare, that places you into a very severe danger, then the Chutzal Chesed will be removed because it comes from above and you will be very plain and very ordinary. So he says, Hineinu Yodati. Now I noticed at this point of time that since you have remained so beautiful, notwithstanding the Torah HaDerech and everything else that would diminish the way you look, that Ki Ish Yifas Mareot, that you are taka naturally and intrinsically an outstandingly beautiful woman, because in the case where we are in these circumstances, you should not appear to be like this, because it's only going to be a danger to you and it's going to be an obstacle to you. And nevertheless, notwithstanding that you are still appearing beautiful in these circumstances, is a simon that's nothing to do with the Chitshel Chesed. It's Ki Ish Yifas Mareot, you are taka lemas, a very, very, very beautiful woman. And Avraham Avinu goes into Mitzrayim and encounters Paroi. Vayanag Hashem es Paroi neguim gedolim ves baisal devar sura eshes Avraham. There Rashi notes al devar sura eshes Avraham that she was taken captive, and then there is a diuk on the word devar. Al pi diburo, says Rashi, that it was to do with her instruction and how she spoke to the Malach. There she was with Paroi, and the Malach says, Nu, v'stitpen, and she says, Noch ha'pash, noch ha'flik, and boom, Paroi chapt noch ha'zbenk, and he's screaming and shouting, Oimeres le'malach v'hu mako. Now, what was this necessary on the face of it? But we know that the Rabbein Shel Olam always repays midah keneged midah. And when he wants to punish somebody, there's a cheshbon of what the person had intended to do. As we know, in those days, women were mere chattel and dealt with as they were very, very insignificant, and they certainly had no way of protecting themselves. They were in the hands of their husbands or whoever they were married to as an object. And certainly Paroi, who had objectified this particularly beautiful woman and taken her captive, married or not married, according to the Medrash, she was fully cognizant of the fact that she was a married woman. But according to the Push Pshat and the Pusik, that's fine. He posed as if he was ignorant of this. And he says, why didn't you tell me? Which is again one of the rhetorical questions, I mean, which appear many, many times in Sefer Bereishis. But once he took her and he captured her and she was taken at customs and taken out the box and taken by officials and taken to the king's palace, and the king took her into a room, her ability to defend herself was very, very, very diminished. And she had literally very little say. And she was completely at the mercy of this mighty king, who was a superpower, king of Mitzrayim. She must have felt very defenseless at that point. And therefore, the Rabbein Shel Olam, who returns midah keneged midah, wanted that this very defenseless woman is now going to be in the position of dictating to the Malach when and where he's going to get his upcomings. And therefore, it was important that the Rebbein Shalom said to her, you tell the Malach. And Paro is screaming and shouting because the Malach is beating the living daylights out of him. And who is the one that's instructing the Malach? This poor defenseless woman, who before was taken captive, had little to say. And now, Paro's very existence is dependent in her hands. And she's screaming to the Malach, give him another one. Bow! And then it was the fulfillment of the Midah Keneged Midah, because it was Al Devar Suroi Eishes Avram. So Rashi's Medayek Al Pi Dibur Omeres LeMalach Hach V'Hu Makeh. Just a small deal in the Rashi. And now we go on from there, and there is the Loit. Now in the word, in a structure of a Pusik, that tells you a lot about Loit. Because if you see just after Shlishi, it says V'gam l'loit ha'holeches Avram ho'yutzoi nibuka v'yehule, describing the interest of accumulation of wealth. And Loit was very, very big into money making. That's why he made the decision to go to Sodom in the first place. Because if you associate his closeness with Avraham Avinu and the ethics of which Avraham Avinu lived, to make a decision to go to Sodom from one moment to the next, to say if sheloi b'avruam v'loi b'elekov, usually these things happen gradually, you know. Even the off the derech syndrome is something which happens, you know. He goes from a long rekel to a short rekel, from lange pious to short pious, and then from a short hair to slightly longer hair, large couple to small couple. It happens gradually, but from one moment to the next, for a person to say, you know, I happen to be Avraham Avinu's mashpak and his gabba, and then the next moment he says, if sheloi b'avruam v'loi b'lekov, I don't believe in God either. And he chucks the whole thing in. He says, I'm going to Sodom, guys. Bye. And that's the end of the game. It's a very radical step to take from one moment to the next. And then the Pusik describes Lot as Vahibi Meir Ruvel. And when they finally went to war, then it says, Vayikri es kol chush Sodom, Vamoyru es kol ochtom Vayelechu. Then Pusik says, Vayikru es Loit. They took Loit, Ves Rechushoi. Ben Achi Avram, Vayelechu. Now, if you structure a Pusik, you would usually say like this. Vayikru es Loit, Ves Rechushoi. And then you would describe, the Loit is Ben Achi Avram. So you'd say who the man is, who his relations are, where his family standing is, and then subsequently you might describe what he has actually owned. So the Pusik says, Vayikru es Loit, which should say then, Ben Achi Avram, Ve'es Rechushoi, Vayelechu. So note how the Pusik is structured. Vayikru es Loit, Ve'es Rechushoi, Ben Achi Avram, Vayelechu. But now, having defined Loit as a very money-hungry man, and that his entire essence is essentially on his accumulative wealth and the ability to get more and more, and that's why he went to Sodom to cash in as well, plus all the promiscuity. So the Torah is stressing that. Vayikru es Loit. Who is Loit? Ve'es Rechushoi. That is Loit. His money, his objects, the extras that he's earned and he's accumulated on the way, caught up with Avraham Avinu and managed to pursue another few objects and collect them. And then it says, Ben Achi Avram, he happens to be Ben Achi Avram also, but that the real Loit is Vayikru es Loit ves Rechushoi. That's really who we're speaking about. That's Ura Dirk. I think we heard it from the Antwerpen Roof. I'm not sure of the source. Vayuva Pulut Vayagit Avram Avri. Oh, we're up to, it's 9 o'clock already. I'm sorry. Okay, should we finish? Okay, we'll finish it.
Yeah. names in the
Old
Testament.
It's okay.
No, it's all the names in the Old Testament.
You can tell
from all the first.